Good morning. You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. Dr. Jim Ireland is a community physician, but also happens to wear the hat as the state's rescue and firefighters medical director for the airports. We've been checking in with him on a regular basis during these COVID times. We chatted earlier this week about how they recently discovered a traveler who was sick with COVID-19. It was a CDC program that originally screened international flights out of Asia and the Pacific for avian flu, but was recently expanded to screen for COVID-19.
Now, the state, under the governor's leadership, has done a very good job of really suppressing the COVID-19 virus. And I wouldn't say it's completely eliminated from Hawaii, but we're very close. I mean, today we had no cases, and over the last week, everybody's seen the numbers. It's been pretty remarkable. And they're still doing a lot of tests, 600 to 800 tests a day, I think, the last time I looked. So testing is going reasonably well, and we're not getting new cases. So at some point, in theory, we could become like New Zealand, where there's just no cases here. But then we know the threat, again, would be for people coming in. So that's kind of the setup for this. So the governor wanted screening done for people coming into the airport. And so what we're doing now with our firefighters at the airports in partnership with the National Guard is we are checking people coming off planes. Much more robust than what was done previously for the avian influenza, which was international travelers, and it was just done if people were identified as being sick. There were no temperature checks. But now we have all these folks coming in getting their temperatures checked, and what happened Saturday is there was a person who had a fever.
And you caught that?
Yeah. The firefighter took the temperature. It was 101. That's above the threshold. And then we identify that person, and we send them to what we call secondary screening. The airport paramedic came to them, took the temperature again, reconfirmed that it was a fever, and then we went through the kind of the standard questioning. How are you feeling? Do you have any shortness of breath? Do you have any cough? Have you been in contact with anybody with COVID-19? But we also know that fevers can come from a lot of other things besides COVID-19. They can come from pneumonia, influenza, the flu. They can come from urinary tract infections anywhere in the body. And so it's not just a slam dunk that you have COVID just because you have a fever, but it was on the differential diagnosis. Previously, in the last few weeks, since we've been taking temperatures, when we do have somebody at the airport with a fever, we offer them medical care at an emergency room. Because if you're coughing and you feel terrible, you probably should get evaluated because, again, it could be COVID, but it could be a lot of other things too. And generally, when people elect to go to the emergency room, either by car or by ambulance, the emergency room physician evaluates the patient and then can do a COVID swab there at the hospital, and then we get our answer. But this particular person didn't feel unwell. He didn't have a cough. He didn't have shortness of breath. He didn't feel terrible, and so he didn't want to go to the emergency room. And to be honest, that's reasonable if you don't feel sick. So under our protocol, the paramedic at the airport called the Department of Health officer on call and talked to them about the situation, and that was decided that they would do the swabbing right at the airport. And we've trained the folks to do that there, and that's what they did. They did a COVID-19 swab, and the patient was allowed to go home. The patient, anybody coming into the state, is under a 14-day quarantine. So the patient was going home under quarantine. However, it was important to get the information because that patient did live with household members, and there was risk of transmission. So getting that swab was key based on the fever, because it came back positive.
And was he released into the home already at the time, or did he know before he went home that he had tested positive?
No, he did not know, because he came in, I think it was like a Saturday night. And so, I don't remember off the top of my head, but we got the results either Sunday or Monday morning, I forget. But no, he was home and with his family when the test came back. And so the health department, this is their program, and they have their own procedures where they do the follow-up and the contact tracing and engage the person with, you know, the proper warnings and the follow-up and that sort of thing.
Right, but in that case, then, you would like to believe that you helped prevent the spread because you were able to identify this person quickly.
We totally did, yes, absolutely. And, again, you're under the mandatory 14-day quarantine, but, you know, my fear is always, okay, he was home, his family was home, but if he then transmitted to his family and then maybe, I don't know who his family, or I don't know anything about this person or his family, but, you know, some family members still work, or they're in critical jobs,
right,
or they have, you know, work at a grocery store, a gas station, or in healthcare where the family members go to work. So my fear would be then that he cross-contaminated or infected a family member or friend who was at the house, and then they went somewhere where there's potential for transmission. Although we're doing social distancing and gloves and masks and doing everything we can as a society to try to limit the transmission, it's always better, in my opinion, to know when there's a case so you can kind of give those kind of stronger warnings and make sure really people are adhering to home quarantine.
Okay, but he wasn't offered like isolation somewhere else on another property.
You know, that is, again, something that is in the health department's kind of realm, and they make all those decisions, and I just wasn't privy to that information once he left the airport.
Okay, so you were fortunate you were able to identify someone getting off a plane. I know that Representative Ed Case has written a letter to the feds, you know, asking about some kind of testing policy or protocol that we could institute where you would get people tested before they get on the airplane.
Right, and what I remind people sometimes, and just I remind myself, is that this virus was discovered late December of last year, but really only became internationally known in early January, so February, March, April, May, so really only 4 months ago. So the amount of information we have about this virus in just 4 months is amazing, and that they already have testing for it is amazing. The key will be is that, as people have probably heard in the media and other places, there's tons of different types of tests. There, last I looked, probably over 50 different types of tests, all with varying reliability. And so I think one of the challenges now is to sort out which test is the most reliable, and you want to get it for a good price as well. But once that's sorted out, and that really is happening quite quickly, there is the possibility of testing a lot more people in a lot shorter time than we had, let's say, just a month ago. And what I mean by that is there's tests where there's a oral swab or a shallow nasal swab instead of the deep nasal swab, a finger prick blood test for antibodies. And so these various different types of tests, as you alluded to, could be put together potentially as some type of protocol, and people would get something like a certificate to travel, and not just to Hawaii, maybe anywhere. And I think anybody who's tried to bring a dog into the state of Hawaii knows about these types of kind of protocols.
There have been stories in the news about the Roosevelt, the USS Roosevelt, and there's the latest story out of Guam is that two of the sailors that had were in isolation have retested positive for COVID. So that's a little disconcerting.
This is a unusual and cruel virus, and there's no doubt about that. You know, normally when someone is unfortunate enough to get infected with a type of virus, they form antibodies that gives them lifelong immunity. So generally, if you get the mumps or measles or the chicken pox, generally you don't get it again. But for some reason, we're finding that people can get reinfected with this virus. And I don't know if people understand if it's that people don't make antibodies to it or you don't make enough antibodies to it, but there is this issue with reinfection. And again, we've only known about this thing for 4 months, but that does seem to be an issue.
The reliability of the test is critical. You know, you shared with me that you were just kind of experimenting with some friends who tested positive, and you were just kind of checking out some of these different tests to see how reliable they were.
Right, and I have been given, I think, 5 different test kits. I've never used them to make a decision about a patient. I've never used them clinically. But I have a doctor friend who traveled to Colorado and in a vacation in February, and he was infected with COVID in March. I think in March he was positive. And all the people with him that were all from Hawaii ended up getting infected with COVID, and they've all recovered, which is great. But this group of people has, number one, they've donated their serum, plasma, for their antibodies to protect people who get infected, which is outstanding. But they've also agreed, not only with me, but with some other people, to submit their fingers or their blood for blood draws or testing to test these various kits to just so we can learn about them. Because I know these were all people who were swab positive for COVID. There's no doubt they had COVID. So a couple different kits I tried on one of my friend who's a physician, and 2 of the kits showed he was positive. There was IgM antibody and IgG antibody, which you would expect for somebody who's been infected within the last month. But one kit was totally negative. It said he had no antibodies for COVID, which quite clearly the other two tests showed he did. And he went on to get some other more sophisticated tests with blood draws that showed he had COVID antibodies. So that just showed me personally that as a clinician, I have to be really careful on signing on to any of these tests for any purpose where a critical decision has to be made.
Right, and we don't know in the case of the sailors on the USS Roosevelt if maybe the test that they got, you know, was a false positive the second time around. It's a head-scratcher.
It is. The other thing that has come up that other physicians have shared with me is there's also this concern about false negative, where you hear a story of someone swabs positive, then they swab negative, then they swab positive again. And some of the other physicians I've worked with who've taken care of COVID patients feel that sometimes the nasal pharyngeal swab, that's the one that goes in the nose very deep back in the throat that kind of makes you gag, maybe not be put in far enough or not done properly, which could give you a false negative result. And that's the actual swabbing. So I know there's people like, oh, they were positive, then they were negative. But he feels sometimes the swab isn't done correctly in all cases. So definitely a learning curve, and you know, definitely everybody wants to get a test that works well and is reliable. And we'll be there. We'll get it there. But I don't know when.
We just got a bunch of the antibody tests in, I think, in the last couple of weeks, I think.
Clinical Labs here in Hawaii has an antibody test. It's for the IgG antibody. So when you get infected with any virus, the body forms an IgM antibody after about 5 days or so. So that's the first one that would become positive. Then after 12 to 14 days or thereabouts, you form the IgG antibody. And that IgG antibody then hopefully lasts forever and will protect you in theory against COVID in the future. I mean, that's the hope. And I believe the test that's being offered by the clinical labs now is the IgG test, which isn't really to show you if you have currently an acute infection. It's more to show you if you've had an infection in the past and therefore have COVID antibodies. So I'm not sure if that's being used right now to make clinical decisions, but more maybe someone comes in and said, hey, I was sick 2 months ago. I never got any swabs or testing. Could you see if it was COVID?
Right.
And that antibody test is how that would sort that question out.
So it's the after fact. After the fact,
absolutely.
Can we talk about the testing at the airport, the thermal scanners that the lawmakers have set money aside for?
People are looking at what other airports are doing, what other airports have done. But you want to make sure you get something that's, again, reliable, trusted, proven, and I think that's what folks are looking at now. I think, going back to what you said about a representative case, that could be very helpful to potentially have people screened, swabbed, or blood tested before they come. You know, I can't speak for the government, I can't speak for, you know, the health department, any of that, but I will say that it seems like everything's on the table, and it's just a matter of sorting through what is really going to be reliable and helpful, and sorting, because right now there's a lot of claims from all these different companies, but I think people have to do their due diligence and make sure that we're getting a product that's going to be reliable, I guess is the bottom line, and we want to make sure we're not getting bad information, because then you make bad decisions.
That was Dr. Jim Ireland, medical director for the paramedics and firefighters at the state's airports across the state.